From the frozen tundra of Tampa Bay, who the hell writes this crap? You've got the Mosh Gelton Show. From Tampa Bay to the world.
Yo! It's lit. It's going down. It is Tuesday night. So you guys know, October 24th, that is the Mosh Gelton Show time, baby. We're getting down. It's 11 p.m. And you guys are checking us out right here on Sunshine, 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. You guys can also check us out Mondays at Radio St. Pete or RadioSt.PeteOnline.com. I don't know if it's the .com, but it's Radio St. Pete Online. I got to check it. I should know it. I look stupid right now. I am your host for this evening. My name is Mosh Gelton, and with me tonight, I've got my co-host.
Beatbox Bob.
Mosh Gelton and Beatbox Bob getting down tonight, but we are joined tonight by the one and only...
Jess.
What's up? What's up? Just one thing, Jess.
Yeah.
How you doing today, Jess? You good?
I'm doing great.
All right, I'll ask you more stuff later. We've got a lot of stuff going on tonight. We've got the music tournament of the week. You guys know we bring that to you. This one's going to be a good one. You guys are going to like it. We've got a couple local artists we're going to play. One of them sent me a song, and I started listening to it, and there was curse words in it. And I said, golly gee, why would you tell me to look? And then, so we can't play that one. But the other ones I'll play. Something I do want to talk about. There's a topic that's been in music since about 94 or 97. 94?
I think 94.
94. We're going to talk about that topic of 1994 rock and roll. And maybe Beat Me and Beatbox Bob will do a little rap here with some beatboxing. We've got trivia time. We've got a lot to pack in this hour. Bobby Boa, how are you doing tonight, man?
Mashua, I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm feeling good. Feeling great.
Good.
Feeling good. Feeling great. We're first show for the 96.7 FM jam in the new studio.
Nice.
So I'm stoked.
So you're doing well.
Very well.
That's what I like to hear.
Get water out of myself. Jess.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to ask you, but you can give me 5 to 6 times as many words. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm in your new studio, and it looks fantastic.
Looks dope?
Yeah, it looks dope. I like it a lot. The walls are painted, and you got your signs up.
Would you say chef's kiss?
Yes, definitely.
We are in the new studio. Check it out. The Mosh Gelton Show pops off right here every Tuesday night at 11 p.m., and we just... got the new studio. We made it. It's a bigger studio. Painted the walls. Got new carpet. I mean, we hooked this thing up. It's huge. And give it up for the new studio, man. So, you know, it's dope as hell. Real quick though, before we got on, we're in a new studio. I got a bunch of new equipment, new stuff. Everything's moved around. We're in a different location. So, before the show started, I got down on my knees and I prayed to God out loud, and I asked God to help me make sure that the stuff doesn't go faulty and the show goes well. And then I ended it with thank you, sir. And Beatbox Bob said, did you just call yourself sir? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's actually accurate. Yeah.
And so we started talking. I said, hold on, we'll do it on the show.
Okay.
And so when you say, why would you say, if I said thank you, sir, to God, why would you say I'm talking to myself?
Well, in my headspace, you know, God is in all things, man. You know what I'm saying? God is in all people, in all things, and everywhere. You know, whatever you believe in, whatever your God you may call them, or her, or she, or them, or they, whatever, God is in all things.
Sure, but is it, so would you say that it is synonymous to say that when I talk to myself, I'm talking to God and vice versa?
Yeah.
That's synonymous.
Well, okay.
So I am God essentially then.
Essentially, but there's a caveat to it. You know, it's a conceptual loop. You know what I'm saying? So like they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
There is no existence without an observer. Right.
Okay.
So therefore... you know, with God being in all things and you being one of those things that can see all things, without you, there would be no God, i.e., you are God.
Well, okay, so I'll just say I think the difference is God may be in all of us, but I think it's a difference to say,
Like, I think God is in me, but I can talk to the God that's in me as well as myself. Because to me, if I even get on the slippery slope of trying to, or even coming close to equating myself with God, that would equal narcissism.
No. I'm not equating myself or yourself with God.
Okay, real quick then. So the statement, if I talk to myself, I'm talking to God and vice versa. How do we square that as not equating yourself with God?
Well, again, we're talking about religious conceptualizations, right? We're talking about, spiritual ideation. Right.
Yeah.
So when that goes down, right, there's a lot of things that logic can't necessarily square all the way across the board. Now, I'm going to do my best to be able to square as well as I can. When I say that, I'm not saying that you or me or anyone else for that matter is individually omnipotent and can control every single aspect of the entire universe and all of this.
Sure. You're not saying we can do the godly things.
Right. What I am saying is that you are a reflection of me, who is a reflection of that blade of grass over there, who is a reflection of every molecule and atom, is a reflection of everything that can perceive, period.
So right? If I go to church and pray, or a synagogue and pray, am I praying to God, or am I praying to myself, or both?
Okay, see, that's where the interesting factor happens, right? Because there is a thought process of a separation, right, between yourself and the divine higher self, right? But at the end of the day, it's all a part of the same thing. Right. So what you're talking about is my thumbnail is different than my toenail is. OK. Yeah, however,
it's a part of the same thing.
It's a part of the same thing.
I got you. But I could target my thumbnail with a thought or a speech.
Sure.
And would not target my toenail. And certainly, I could say that I'm only talking to my thumb and not my toenail.
Absolutely. But in doing so, then what's the point? Right. Why would you only talk to one part of the whole thing? Talk to it all. It's all the same. You should treat that piece of grass as you should treat God.
The piece of grass?
Yeah, or an atom or a molecule or a random object to use as an example.
I'll treat them like I would treat God. I want to treat everybody as godly as I can. But, I just think I just don't like to get too close with the... I get what you're saying, though. I agree with it. So we may be talking past each other. I think
we are. We're talking past each other.
But I thought that was very interesting. So I said, "Hold on, we're going to stop the convo because we're about to be on the show here. So let's do it on the show." So you got a little bit of God in you guys.
God save us.
God save the. Can't say that anymore, right?
We can still. I mean,
is there a queen yet?
Well, you know, but she could be in heaven.
Oh, she could be in heaven. She could be in heaven, bro.
How dare you?
When I say it that way, I don't mean that heaven is necessarily a place that she would or wouldn't be. I'm not supposing that heaven is a place that exists. What I'm saying is could be as in.
Isn't heaven a half pipe?
You're funny.
What's the song where he's like, "And Jesus and heaven be just kicking back with Jesus packing my bone"?
I don't know that song.
You don't know that song?
Never heard that one.
Heaven would be just kicking back with Jesus packing my bong.
Wow.
It's a very good song. Heaven would be just kicking back with... Yeah, I'm going to say it right here on air. With Jesus... Because I'm typing this. I got to know. Packing my... If I just made that line up out of my head and there's no song that has that in there... Oh, it's right. Heaven is a half pipe.
You better write.
It's Heaven is a half pipe.
Nice.
So it was both the same song. I hope it doesn't curse. Please don't curse. What if it curses? That's going to be really bad. I die before I wake. At least...
In heaven I
what's going
escape.
On this thing?
Cause right now on earth I can't do jack. Without the man upon my back.
Heaven would be just kicking back with Jesus packing my bong. That is, I don't know who does that song. It doesn't say he does. You never heard that?
I have not.
I haven't either.
All right, well, here's something else you've never heard. What we do on this show, you're listening to the Mosh Gelatin Show right here on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. to midnight. And what we do is we've got some segments, right? Because we're doing professional radio. So we thought, you know, hey, listen, let's get some segments. Some segments. Listen. We've got all the segments and the bits. We're going to give you all. Do you want the segments? Bob, you want me to give you the segments?
Yes.
You want the segment?
I want the segment.
Badly. Do you want the
segment? This is weird.
I want the segment so bad.
You're going to get the segment wrong.
I want the
segment. You're really going to get the segment.
Better give me the segment.
I give it to you.
Give me the segments.
Okay, he's gonna get the segment. You're getting the segment right now. You're getting the segment.
You gotta give me the segments.
All right, so this segment is called Local Artists. Now, what we do is we take underground artists and, you know, dope lyricists, rock stars, whatever, but they're not, you know, big label guys, and we spin them right here on 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, and we're gonna critique the song.
Okay.
And we will decide whether or not the song is worthy to move on to the next round, which we don't know what it is, but it can move on. So we're going to go to this first song here by a local artist of the area. His name is Roland Mizell.
Nice.
You know Roland Mizell.
Yeah.
Roland Mizell is really dope. He's very different. He's different. I like him because he's so different. He's out there, and he puts it in there. He kind of reminds me. Not his flow and stuff isn't like Kurt Cobain, but his style reminds me of Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
He's just about that life.
I'm with that.
So this song is by a local artist called Roland Mizell. Cool dude. And this song is called Slacker. So here it is.
You remember a time?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is called Slacker, and I thought that was fire, bro.
I thought it was pretty good.
System of a Down?
It was good, yeah. I mean, I'm not really into that hardcore of music, but for what it was really good.
You don't seem like a hardcore gal.
Yeah, but I do know that music, and that sounds pretty up there with the stuff I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, don't get so aggressive. Relax.
It's like Slayer-ish. It's really good.
Yeah. It's hardcore.
Like, yeah. That hardcore beat down.
The whole time it was going, we were just shaking our heads like.
What is that? That reminds me of this band I know, Acid Bath. They do some good stuff, bro. Roland Mizell's the man.
It's a sick name, Acid Bath.
Yeah, they're actually really cool.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that jam. I would spin that if I was at the gym and I heard that.
Yeah.
Gains, baby. Gains. It's all gains. You know what I'm saying? If I was in this zone yesterday and last night, it'd have been a wrap. But that was the first show we did, so I was kind of getting, but it's a problem right now.
Yeah, them jitters, boy.
It's a problem. But Roll Them Eyes Out, ladies and gentlemen, that is called Very well done, Roland. Check that out on YouTube. Just look up Roland Mizell, and the song is called Slacker, and it's right there on YouTube for all the world to see. And I definitely thought it was a really good song. The next song on the docket, we've got two songs tonight, Roland Mizell's Slacker, and we're also going to play a song called Where You Been by Semi. S-E-M-M-I. Ooh. Where You Been by Semi. It was produced by the greatest man alive of production.
DJ Eddie Valiant
produced it. DJ Eddie Valiant is a member of the Mosh Gelatin Show. He's also a DJ, a producer, a rap artist. There's nothing that he doesn't do well. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is going to be fire. But so the guy's name is Semi, and DJ Eddie Valiant is the dude who produced it, who made the beat, who ran it down, and the song is called Where You Been.
Wrist moving, it's still brewing, I'm cooking off. Yeah. Still a shooter, if you confuse it, I'm pulling off. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know nobody, run inside, I got love for you. I've been at my ever right now, I'm showing off for you. Where you been? That's what they asking me. That's what they asking me. So stop harassing me about where I've been. At the time I wasn't ready, but see my mistakes were heavy. Had omissions by addiction till I kicked it. Line on Messi, mixed the vodka with the Fetty. That combination deadly. Has some issues in my past, but we gon' keep it on the pressy. Hit the perfect with the Hezzy. Come get redirected. I just start to step on that. Stepping. I do this with no excuses. There's no need to be intrusive. You're the one we trip to heaven. Inclusive is all included. Made the product, adios. Used to get it cheap, babe, from Enrique. Yeah, follow more, that rhythm take you over. Whipping and baking soda. Got that heat from Sarasota. Couldn't keep up with orders. Told my homie to take it over. Said, fuck it, I'm getting sober. Now I'm king like Cobra. Need a queen like Doja. I'm missing the beam by pulling. If I break my hand, you better bring my water. Yeah. It's still brewing, I'm cooking off. But you still a shooter.
This is crazy, bro.
Pray for Jake, but wasn't at the cemetery. It's often all my days turn to nights, and my nights turn to days. They say life is what you write. I was trying to turn a page. I was stuck in a chapter I felt somebody else wrote. I'm to blame, the penmanship the same, not in quotes. I was treading water, drowning slowly, they ain't even notice. Now I'm treadstone with this chrome, you need to focus. I was born in this, forged and formed in this. Pledge allegiance, only way leaving is get torn from this. Marty, the future looking good. Got to switch sides from this side. Call that a hood hop. Jaquan or Raekwon, tipsy chefing. But ain't no drinking while I'm cooking in this session. The wrist moving, it's still brewing. I'm cooking
up. Dang. My God. That was sick.
That was sick.
Yeah. That was fire.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ain't do it. Dude, Eddie, bro, you need the music video now.
Yeah, that could be on the radio.
Yesterday.
That was a big boy song. I mean, obviously hip-hop, obviously. Oh, man, there's nothing wrong with that song.
That's a heater. Yeah. That's it's a fire. Heater.
I mean, as much as, dude, and Rollin' Mizell song was a jam, too. So we got lucky, and we got two fire songs tonight. But that song right there was impeccably well produced. The hook was good. The second verse was dope. That first verse was banana peels.
Bananas, yeah. Son.
Donkey Kong must have spit that first verse.
I'm talking like no doubt, man. That was bananas.
Both Both were nasty, though. Both verses were nasty. I mean, this is this stuff is kind of crazy, though, I should be honest. Oh man, it's not. So man, that was crazy, man. Roa Mizell's song Slacker. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. I guess the thumbs up, Roa Mizell, Slacker, thumbs up. And then of course DJ Eddie Valiant and Semi, Where You Been? Thumbs up.
All the
absolutely.
Way.
Thumbs two
to
thumbs
the
up.
Sky. Very well done. Those songs were damn good.
They were damn good.
Pretty good songs, man. That one should have been. He's tripping.
Why are we not hearing it on the radio every 5 seconds?
Yeah. I don't know why. Well, it's on the radio now.
It's like it's on the radio. Radio. Oh, yeah.
We're the first.
We're the first.
Bob, forgetting right now.
No, like,
oh,
I know.
What is it on? Like the what is it on FM or something?
No, like I knew, like, but like you know,
yeah.
Well, what is it on? A radio? Radio?
Like, why isn't it on? Like you know, the normal rotation. You know what I mean?
Nah, right. I feel what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Yeah, we gotta press it, bro. So if you guys want to hear that song every day, 100 times a day. Call your local radio station and say you want to hear Where You Been by Semi. And also tell them you want to hear Slacker by Roa Mizell because that deserves a little bit of radio play. You want to do a rap?
Yeah.
People were telling me that they wanted to hear me and Bob rap because Bob beatboxes and I rap. So we're going to do that for you real quick. I'm just going to throw something out there like... I got free weed you can get on. Relax, you're too tense like a teepee in a wigwam. I will always be respected. I hook up with sorry ass chicks, but apology accepted. I found a recipe on cyberspace. They say cook squirrels in your fireplace. It's an acquired taste. My life's something like Chris Farley when he died of bass. Just a giant waste. Like double crack, I'm too dope. I drink Smurf soda, so I can say I blew coke. Froggy drivers get their car towed. I call Xanax, french fries, and pay for them in barcode. From Tampa to Orlando, I drink and drive on starry nights just to see my van go. I've never had a car, I'm talking trash. So every ride that I've got is a sign of an autograph. I carjacked a cash cab, then got pulled over playing manhunt for having bad tags. I make mad amends. I'm in so many broken relationships, I got the cast of Friends. I slip in an impaired state, and every beer that I drink to get ups in my staircase. I'm comatose, and when I do Spanish drugs, I'm easy to trace because I overdose. My metaphors rally. Sometimes I get so mad, I want to clock Salvador Dali. I'm never sober. I bought the way that I do drugs, so I guess I'm a method owner. And when you drink, I drop breaks. I record how to fix my liquor with scotch tape. I deliver deep scars. It sucks doing so much time for battery than getting recharged. Like that.
Woo.
Love fire.
That was fire.
Should I ring me in with the air horn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's pretty dope. They want us to put out a bunch of those.
We should definitely put out a bunch of those.
We're going to do that. You're listening to the Mosh Gelatin Show right here on Sunshine 96.7 FM. Mosh Gelatin, Beatbox Bob and Jess. We were just rapping. We're too good. I got a rap show coming up soon in Largo. My first rap show. We've talked about it, but super stoked for that.
Bro.
We got so much stuff popping off, man. It's like we were meant to be this busy.
We were.
You think so?
Yeah.
If we were to do 2 hours on Sunshine, well, no, we shouldn't talk about that right now. Let's talk about something even more get us in trouble, bro. Let's talk about sex. Let's get as descriptive as we possibly can, and hopefully call the FCC, turn the speakerphone on. And let's just wild out, bro. Like Courtney Love, bro. You know what I'm saying? Just go crazy.
Is this Love Line over here or something?
Nah, it's Courtney Love Line, bro. Courtney Love, who may or may not have had Kurt Cobain murdered.
What?
What?
Y'all know about that. What are you talking about? Look at that fake response.
may or may not.
What? What? You guys know the thing where Kurt Cobain did coke? Let me ask you then. Let me ask you a question, Bob. Did Kurt Cobain commit suicide or was he killed?
He was killed.
See, I disagree with that. Why do you believe Kurt Cobain was killed?
Dave Grohl.
Oh, my gosh. I never even looked at it from that angle.
Foo Fighters, man.
You think something like that?
No. What you mean, Dave Grohl?
Foo Fighters, man. The Foo Fighters wouldn't exist without Kurt Cobain being dead, right? They became a multinational band.
That's why I don't like Dave Grohl.
After Kurt Cobain died, right? Taylor Hawkins recently died. I put the two and two together. Clearly, Dave Grohl has a type.
Damn.
What?
Blonde, you know, short, wiry.
Blonde.
Drug addicts.
Long hair guys.
Taylor Hawkins was a drug addict?
Yeah,
that's
for
how
sure.
He died, yeah.
That's how he died, yeah. It was
overdose.
His whole big yeah. thing, yeah.
They're on tour.
It was like a giant point of contention for everybody who knows anything about Foo Fighters.
Wow, man.
Like
so
knowledge.
That's not a good look on Dave Grohl right there.
Right.
Yeah, not really.
It's so a bad look.
I put two and two together after Taylor Hawkins died. I'm like, wait, Dave Grohl had to have killed Kurt Cobain. There's no other way.
I thought you were going to say Dave Grohl was a heroin dealer.
No. I mean, maybe, but that's, you know, that's beside the point.
What do you think he did to him?
Well, I mean, you know, Mossberg, you know, it was a shotgun. Kurt Cobain got shot with a shotgun that was, and the burn wounds were consistent with it being held up against him.
So did Dave Grohl shoot him himself in your hypothetical?
In my hypothetical situation, I don't know if Dave Grohl himself did the shooting or if Dave Grohl had somebody else do the shooting, but or if it was you know, a record label acting on behalf of Dave Grohl hiring somebody to do the shooting or something along those lines. Or you know, whatever the case is, Kurt Cobain was killed in order to benefit Dave Grohl is my theory. That's my whole theory, is that regardless of whatever the method of murder was or the chain of command, the person who pulled the trigger.
Reasoning was for Dave Grohl to blow up. Here's my point. I believe that he said he wanted to kill himself multiple times. And let's not, we'll use it. He said he wanted to unlife himself multiple times.
Yeah.
And then he was seen at a gun store buying a shotgun days before, and he had just got out of a rehab.
How convenient.
Convenient? Yeah. I mean,
if you were going to kill somebody, right? Let's say you were going to unalive somebody. You're going to put somebody on a T-shirt, bro. And you see them, and you see that they've just gotten out of rehab. They've mentioned multiple times that they were going to go and unalive themselves. And then you see that they just went to a gun store, right? It was publicly known that the guy went to a gun store. How convenient would it be to then unalive that guy?
Well, I think it would be inconvenient because you're taking a risk for almost no reason, because the guy was probably likely to unalive himself anyways.
Well, sure.
So what, now you're paying money, you're bringing people into the, and if he doesn't, well, then you're making all the money because he was making mad money.
How big is that rifle that Kurt used? It was like a cannon, right? It was a Mossberg.
It was a long one. Yeah, that's the point. A point of contention is that he wasn't able to. I mean, but I've watched videos where they reconstructed it, where if you hold yourself out like this and you put your feet out and your arms out.
Well, sure, but then why is there no documented bruises on his hands and fingers and toes?
I did not like the note, bro.
Right? The note seemed disingenuous.
There was two different handwritings. Some say that it was because he was getting more intoxicated that his handwriting got sloppier.
I disagree.
I do too.
That's dubious.
Yeah.
At best, there's no way.
The only thing I could think of, if I was going to put it in what they want you to know terms, I would say, well, okay, maybe he wrote a bunch of it at one point in a handwriting and then came back and was either, I don't know, I don't remember if it was better handwriting in the last part or worse, but I write different ways sometimes, you know?
It was better handwriting, but the difference is that the second time when it was better handwriting, the handwriting was much more blocky and centered rather than the handwriting prior, which he was clearly intoxicated on, which was definitely not blocky and definitely not centered. It was more curvy and curled. I did the research myself too, buddy.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That part's interesting.
So where I'm at with it is that the only person to benefit, because Courtney Love was not going to benefit from Kurt dying. If anything, she actually got worse off.
Of course.
Yeah, she. If anything, she got worse off. The record label and Dave Grohl, both of those guys, those entities as individuals are the ones who benefited from that. Follow the Money and, you know, Foo Fighters blew up.
See, now, I would be more convinced if Dave Grohl was a sensation but was being held back by this guy that couldn't sell records, and they had to get the guy that couldn't really sell the records out of there so Dave could shine. However, you've got one of the biggest stars of the 90s selling everything. I don't know why we need to get rid of him.
Well, because of the fact, like, for one, you know, Dave has always been a team player all the way from the jump, right? He's always been a people pleaser. He definitely had a good image to begin with. And with that, it's really easy to construct a narrative around him being the, you know, the sad best friend in order to get sympathy at first. Clearly, Foo Fighters is a record label generated formulaic band that's there specifically in order to generate money and move products, right? They're Foo Fighters. Is an obvious cash grab from the jump, right? They're extremely marketable. They don't have any risky lyrics. There's nothing, you know, too forward.
So the money. So would you say, my final question on this then, if you say that, is I would say, do you think that it is possible that he could have unalived himself and then they just were like, okay, cool, we'll just use Dave, and then they just took advantage of the situation? Or do you think they 100% you think somebody did something to force the situation?
You know, I'm actually sort of on the fence about the about that particular part, right? Because in my headspace, right, I feel like it's very likely, right, that the record label would, especially when they're getting big like that, Roadrunner Records wanted to buy Dave Grohl's product, right? And that's what happened. They're the biggest multinational, you know, one of the biggest multinational record labels that there is.
Roadrunner?
Yeah, I believe it was Roadrunner, wasn't it? Or was it...
I don't remember.
One of the big three.
Geffen?
No, it was one of the big ones that wanted to buy Foo Fighters, like, that Foo Fighters is under now.
Gotcha.
And all of that. I feel like it makes sense for, you know, a big money, you know, corporate place like that to get rid of the not team player, so that way they can sell a bunch of Nirvana merch off of Sympathy and generate another multinational band. I don't even generally think it's really even about the Foo Fighters or Dave Grohl's success more than it is about being able to generate profits at the top of the, you know, of the guy's thing. I mean, if you look at what happened after Jimi Hendrix died, if you look at what happened after, you know, a bunch of different
people, they could unalive him just to make all of his stuff worth more and people right. want to listen to him, make him a pop, a cult icon.
Right. Yeah, and then after that, Dave Grohl for sure definitely benefited from it, you know, clearly. I mean, you know, without him.
But I'm just saying, if he unalived himself and it wasn't a conspiracy, he did it on tape, Dave Grohl was going to benefit anyways. So.
No matter what. Yeah. So where I'm at with it is that, truth be told, I really feel like if he didn't unalive himself, then it was of a very, you know, bad situation the record label got him. I really doubt that he actually did unalive himself. I feel like somebody else went and got the job done, even though he was already on the precipice.
What does the record show? You know, what is the police evidence or the, you know?
Well, yeah, there's lots of...
They've got pictures of the crime scene. We pretty much sprawled out what happened. The contentions with him being able to shoot himself, how could he do that?
Right.
That messed up. There's nobody there to see it. The handwriting on the letter was different.
There was no bruising on any of his digits, even after handling a Mossberg, which is, you know, definitely a powerful rifle. Right.
There's a lot of inconsistencies. However... You know,
it looks like just a botched cover up. Somebody had a lot of money, but they hired a really cheap hitman. So then they had to do a lot of media and PR backing in order to get through and hide as much evidence, you know, circumstantially as possible.
If Dave Grohl's new band name was called Cheap Hitman, bro, I would be respecting way more, bro. I mean, Cheap Hitman is my new favorite band name. Are you guys ready to play Trivia Time?
Yeah.
Trivia time on the Mosh Gelatin Show right here on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete. We rock it. We roll it. Sometimes I'll cough loud. Man, I will cough. But I want to cough, but I don't have to. Should I get it out of the way? Excuse me. Thank you very much. So the way that we do this trivia time, we play different games each time. Sometimes the game is called according to a song lyric. Here's a lyric, name a song. Tonight, we've got a top 17 list.
Ooh.
So how it's going to work is Beatbox Bob and Jess are playing head up, and the first person to get 9 will be crowned the winner. And you've got to call in too. Most people want to just keep yelling them out. I got to call in to keep it on point. But what we're going to do one at a time first with a ticker. So here's how it works. These are the top 17 best drug movies of all time, according to a source on the internet. According to a source on the internet, we've got the top 17 best drug movies of all time. So take that for what you believe it means, and you guys have to figure it out. The first person to get 9 of them wins. And do you guys understand what we're doing here?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Jess, ladies first. Your birthday was yesterday, so.
It was.
What is the one of the top 17 best drug movies of all time?
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream at number 1.
Ooh.
At number 1 is Requiem for a Dream. Jess gets the point. Very well done. Beatbox Bob, a top 17 best drug movie of all time.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Number 4 is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I don't know if I believe it's in order, but I only agree really with number 1. So
I
only agree with number 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I only agree with number 1 so far. I mean, some of them I do, but I don't know. Number 1 is right, but I feel like Fear and Loathing could be number 2, could be number 7.
Fear and Loathing could be number 2.
It could be number 2. Depending really on who you ask.
Right. Yeah.
Jess, what is a top 17 best drug movie of all time?
Scarface.
Scarface is number 5. Okay. Which could also be number 2.
Mm-hmm.
In somebody's book.
Easily.
Yeah. Beatbox Bob, you got a top drug movie?
Blow.
Blow coming in at number 3.
Of course. That is a number 3.
Yeah, like I was going to say that one. Yeah.
Below is above Fear and Loathing?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well then they're right so far. All right. Very well done. It's tied so far. Jess, do you know another top 17 best drug movie of all time?
What about like Pineapple Express?
Pineapple Express somehow coming in at number 10.
Nice.
Number 10 is Pineapple Express. I think almost every movie behind it is better, but Pineapple Express is in there. You just got 3. Bob's got 2. First to 9 is the winner. Beatbox Bob, a best drug movie.
Half-Baked.
Is Half-Baked on the list. Half-Baked at number 15. So far, they have swung and they have not missed. And they've gotten a point on every guess. But I feel like Jess may be backed up here. Jess, give me a top best drug movie of all time.
How High?
Is How High on here? How High is not on here.
Get out of here. Out of 17.
Out of 17, it's not on the list.
Dang.
It's not on the list. So, surprising, Jess with the first miss. All right, Beatbox Bob, I need a top 17 best drug movie of all time.
I already said Half-Baked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then that is... Hold on, you just said How High. We just said Pineapple Express. Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams.
He says Cheech and Chong. Man, I would have gave you points if you weren't so specific.
Okay, cool. But there's like 3 movies, so you know one of the 3 is fine.
Which one's the biggest one?
Nice Dreams is one of my biggest ones. I don't know for sure if the other one.
What's the name of the other one?
I don't remember.
I'm going to give him the point.
Cheech and Chong is enough. Up in Smoke.
Oh, that's there's only one Cheech and Chong on the list?
There is. Only one Cheech and Chong.
That's important then. Okay, cool.
Up in Smoke. Bob gets the point. I will give Jess the next benefit. Don't get too close. Jess, what is a top drug movie of all time?
What about Kids? Is that what it's called, Kids?
Kids is not on the list.
Oh, okay.
It's not on the list. Bob, you got one?
Cocaine Cowboys?
Cocaine Cowboys, I thought was going to be on there, but unfortunately, there's no Cocaine Cowboys.
What about Drugstore Cowboy?
No Drugstore Cowboy? It's okay. An open table. The top 17 best drug movies of all time.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club is not on here.
It's technically a drug movie. It's about AIDS drugs.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Dallas. There's an English movie on here that everybody tells me to watch. I've never seen it. There's a Quentin Tarantino movie that I didn't know was a drug movie.
Mm. Kill Bill?
No. Quentin Tarantino drug movie?
Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction is correct. Number six for drug movies.
It's not a drug movie.
Yeah.
There's drugs in it.
Right.
Like War Dogs.
It's very not. And then that one I'm not even going to go to next. Now, this number eight is a big drug movie that we all watched early 2000s, late 90s.
I said Half-Baked.
No. This one's like serious. Benicio Del Toro.
Oh. Dang.
Yeah, and then there's one that's about porn, not really drugs.
Magic Mike?
No, older. No, it's not Channing. And then there's one with Denzel in it.
Training Day?
Training Day's correct.
What about Summer of Sam? Is that like a drug movie?
Summer of Sam?
Yeah, Summer of Sam. I don't know.
There is no Summer of Sam. There's one movie about drugs. I think it was made in the 30s or the 40s. Mm.
Oh, Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness is correct.
Bob's coming up.
Bob's got seven. Two more to win. Another one is a classic movie that we've all seen. Late 90s, I believe. Might even have been earlier 90s.
Basketball Diaries.
Basketball Diaries is on the list. That's not the one I was naming, but Basketball Diaries, number 13, and rightly so. It should probably be higher.
Yeah, it should.
Good one.
Basketball Diaries was a good one. What's the movie about porn?
Mira and someone make a porno. Mira and Zach.
Oh yeah, Zach and Mira
make a porno.
What is it called when there's a bunch of cars in the same street?
Traffic jam. Traffic.
Traffic is correct.
Oh yeah, traffic. Duh.
Traffic was the Benicio.
Duh.
Okay.
All right, and Bob just needs one more. Now, there's a hood. It's kind of a hood movie.
Friday.
Friday's correct. Winners, Beatbox Bob. Good job, Beatbox Bob. And no more need to be said. Bob got it. That's Friday. The ones you did not get.
Don't be a menace to South Central while you're drinking juice in the hood?
Nah. I don't know how there's a movie called Candy. I don't know.
Candy's so good.
When did that come out?
I don't remember when it came out. Like late 90s? Okay. Early 2000s. I might have seen
it. What is it about?
It's been too long.
I want candy.
It's like the X thing. Hold on.
So you didn't get Candy. And again, like I said, I haven't even heard of that movie.
2006.
It's a 2006 movie. Who's in it?
Jeffrey Rush and Heath Ledger, Abby Cornish. And it's basically they're doing intravenous drug usage.
Okay.
Throughout the whole thing, and they just get worse and worse and worse. It's about an artist, named Candy, and an aspiring poet named Dan become caught in a harrowing downward spiral of drug dependency and failed efforts to get clean.
Harrowing. You see what they did there?
Yeah.
It's pretty well. Okay. Well, I haven't seen Candy. Did not know that this was a drug movie. Goodfellas.
Goodfellas what? Is not a it's drug, not a drug movie.
I didn't even Mobs. Think there was any drugs in that movie.
I didn't.
No, there was, but not like that to where it's like prevalent or like, you know, it's like the normal thing, you know, we're just more painting like killing a picture. People.
Yeah, I don't know how that got there. Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah, that's Boogie Nights. That's a good one, yeah.
I thought it was more of a porn movie than a drug movie, but.
Yeah, same thing, though. They go hand in hand.
And then number two, the English movie.
Oh, I'm trying to think what this English movie is.
Train Spotting.
Oh, Train Spotting, yeah.
Train Spotting.
That's fair.
People tell me to go.
I don't remember if I've ever seen that.
To watch it. I haven't never seen it.
Never seen it either, but I had it explained to me like 7,000 times.
Right. Because people are always like, Train Spotting.
I haven't even seen, what's the one English movie that everybody's seen?
Mary Poppins.
I love Mary Poppins.
Nah, not Mary Poppins. It's like Mary Poppins. It's where they fight a lot and stuff.
I don't know.
Damn, I think Elijah Wood's in it.
Yeah, Elijah Wood. You know, he's the,
Yeah, he's the Hobbit.
Yeah, Frodo. He's the Hobbit. Yeah.
Frodo.
Yeah, what's that movie?
It's
that's Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
It's what's the
New Zealand movie?
Okay. It's a popular. They're British. They fight each other. It's like two gangs. Then they fight each other.
Peaky Blinders.
Nah, it's like a. Oh man, bro. You know what, dude? Listen, I can't let this go. I gotta check this out. All right, so.
Elijah Wood movies.
I'm gonna say Elijah Wood gangster movie. Gangster British movie. It should come right up. It's not Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Goodfella. Oh man, it's not The Gentleman's Snatch. It's not Snatch. Once Upon a Time in London. No, it's not. Good Long Friday. No.
Pawn Shop.
It's not.
Are you
pawn
sure Elijah
shop.
Wood's in it?
I'm not 1,000% sure, bro. People that are listening right now are probably screaming it out loud.
Ash Wednesday.
I'm gonna try to write Elijah Wood. If it's not in here, then I'm cool. But trash should come right up. It's not Green Street Hooligans, but I'm getting closer, bro. Oh my gosh. All right. Anyways, bro. I don't know. What, you guys ready to do a damn music tournament?
We're ready.
All right. Yeah. Music tournament's that. There's, oh, let me turn it up. Oh, yeah. I turn it up. So, what we do is we got a music tournament and I didn't even pull them up. So, we'll get them pulled up. We take the best four songs of either a single artist's collection or maybe we'll take a genre or a theme like drug songs. And we will pit the songs against each other in a little four-way jamboree to see which song we believe in studio is the best song. And tonight, all of these songs have one thing in common, Bob.
What's that?
They are all songs done by the Beastie Boys.
Ooh!
So tonight's music tournament is the top four songs of the Beastie Boys. We're going to pit them against each other. We're going to play them a piece of each one to remind you of them. And we're going to decide which one we think is the gosh darn best. And y'all are going to love it. All right, Bob, here's the first song by the Beastie Boys. That's too long. Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. You were jamming and ramming on that.
Yeah.
That song's fire, yeah.
Love Sabotage.
I didn't like it that the intro was like 416
it is really long.
Minutes
yeah.
long.
It's a really long intro.
I'm willing to age visibly for the good music.
I'm willing to age visibly. Dude, I don't age any other way, bruh. I age audibly. Here's the next beat boop. This is the next Beastie Boys song that's going to go up against Sabotage. So do you think Sabotage is a better song or Bob, or do you think it's this one?
We got to save the drum with money and spend with
I'm a little scared it's gonna curse. So Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No sleep till Brooklyn.
Beatbox Bob, what song do you think is better? Do you think it's Sabotage or No Sleep Till Brooklyn?
Sabotage.
Sabotage. One for Sabotage by Beatbox Bob. Jess, what would you say?
Sabotage as well.
Two for Sabotage. Sabotage is the winner. I would pick No Sleep Till Brooklyn, but I'm just a simple kind of man. I think Sabotage, that little intro there kind of annoyed me to the point to where I don't even want to see
anything. Change your mind.
I don't even like this band anymore, bro. I think we're going to call an audible and we're going to do Nickelback here.
No.
All right, here's the next song, which will be going up against the next song. This is the Beastie Boys. We've got in the finals right now, we've got Sabotage. And here's the next one. And I will probably get inundated. Oh, no, I didn't. All right, we don't need the extra stuff. Give me the song. Intergalactic planetary planetary intergalactic intergalactic planetary planetary intergalactic another dimension another dimension another dimension another dimension another dimension another dimension. So you've got Intergalactic is the next song that's gonna, and we're gonna see if Intergalactic, if we're gonna put Intergalactic, what do you think is the last Beastie Boy song? What would you think what should go in there?
Fight for your right.
Fight for your right. What do you think?
Did you girls?
Girls.
Brass Monkey.
Brass Monkey. Now you're talking. Now you're talking the jam. So,
what is it?
Fortunately, it is. It is Beatbox Bob is correct. It is Fight for Your Right to Party by Beastie Boys.
There we go.
Fight for Your Right to Party by the Beastie Boys is the final song. But yeah, I had on the side, I was going to call an audible because you got Paul Revere.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then Brass Monkey and Girls. I feel like we could have taken out No Sleep Till Brooklyn and put Brass Monkey very easily.
Oh, yeah. Mm. We could have taken out Sabotage and
put in Girls,
yeah.
We might have even been able to take out Intergalactic for Paul Revere.
No, absolutely not Intergalactic. Not possible. It would be Fight for Your Right versus Paul Revere. Yeah.
Fight for Your Right was iconic. I had to put it in there.
I get it, yeah. But it's not the best song.
So you're going Intergalactic?
Of course, yeah.
No Same question. Here.
That is their best song.
Yeah
we're going Intergalactic. Yeah. It's pretty unanimous. Intergalactic is that's their best song.
It is their best song.
We would probably be called Blasphemers. If people heard us say that, because, oh, bro, that's their commercial song, bro. Who are you, some kind of punk?
It's their best song.
It is.
Musically, the intro.
Well, then you don't even need to vote for the finals, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, Beatbox Bob in the finals, we've got Sabotage versus Intergalactic. And Bob says Intergalactic. You know what, Bob? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say Intergalactic. Excuse me, no voice. That's what talking for 24 hours straight does. Jess, your vote doesn't count. It's not because you're a woman.
Whatever.
Intergalactic. We'll let you vote in about 80 years. Intergalactic. So Intergalactic is the winner. So the Jamboree Get Down extravaganza of which song is the best Beastie Boys song turned out to be Intergalactic.
What did you do?
How are you gonna put on Mississippi Queen out of nowhere?
How did that happen? Because I run a lot of this on my phone, and then people should know not to message my phone. I guess not. Sometimes I respond during the show, but when I'm playing a bit and it comes through, I don't know how it played the other thing.
You randomly started playing Mississippi Queen out of nowhere.
Who sings that?
I don't remember.
Me either.
Mississippi Queen, don't know the song.
We know it.
Mississippi Queen, can't you see what I mean?
You like that? You like that Marshall Tucker? Can't you see?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Nope. I think that's lame and commercial and boring.
Oh, man.
Boring. What that mama.
I'd rather Bob Seger.
Yeah, I like me some Bob
Dust Seger. In the Wind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What All my dreams.
That's not Bob.
I know.
Oh, that's by La Mos. Yeah, but the rivers take you over by La Mos. Yo quiero. Como si to.
By La Mos.
Dude, Enrique was a heavy hitter, bro.
We love you, Enrique!
Loved him.
A heavy.
Yes.
Extremely weighty. Weighty, I mean,
thick.
He has Bailamos. Of course, Living La Vida Loca.
That's Ricky Martin.
Oh, yeah, that's Ricky Martin.
Okay, well, then he's got Hero.
That's.
I can be your hero, baby.
That's the wrong song.
That's him.
No, that's it. That's Hero.
No.
That's Hero.
And the Jennifer Love Hewitt played in the music video. I know the song.
Yeah, it's Hero.
They were in a construction house and he was dancing with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, but it's not, and I couldn't be your hero, baby. Yeah. That was a different song.
Take my breath away. That's not the song.
No, that's the song,
hero,
yeah.
Baby.
No,
that's
what?
It. Yeah.
It was another song then with like a group of white guys who did it in like the late 90s.
It's something like,
2000s.
I can be your hero, baby. I can, that's
Enrique,
what it is, bro. Hold on, man.
Yeah, it's Hero.
Unless I'm tripping. Maybe I'm tripping. Let's find out real quick. Hold on.
You're not tripping.
Let me be your hero. Would you dance if I asked?
Are you reading the lyrics?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Let's see.
Wait.
There it goes.
I can be your hero, baby. That's Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah.
I can kiss away the pain. I will stand by you forever. And you can take my breath away.
Oh, it's a banger, bro.
I never knew that was Enrique Iglesias. I just thought it was a generic white guy band.
Enrique Iglesias.
Iglesias.
I don't know if he's related to Gabriel Iglesias, who's actually funny. I actually like him. He doesn't curse, but he's pretty funny.
I'm bored of him. I'm so sick of that guy. He's not even funny anymore. He says the same 17 jokes over and over and over again. We get it. You're fluffy, okay?
Yeah,
ha, 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 ha. Okay, cool. You make cool, funny sound effects, and you make high, squeaky voice people. Way to go. You're literally Jeff Dunham with less bits.
Jeff Dunham, what does he got? Puppets?
Yeah,
exactly. You're like literally Jeff Dunham with less bits and you're more ethnic, so it's okay for the crowds to like you more.
He didn't say Jeff Dunham with no dolls. He said Jeff Dunham with less bits. Yeah, you're Jeff Dunham with a mustache, bro.
Like, for real.
Man, bro, Jeff Dunham, more like Jeff finish him.
Bro, I'm saying, dude, that was a good line. I like that. That was clever.
Come on.
That was clever.
Jeff Dunham, more like Jeff finish him.
Jeff finish him.
Flawless victory. Every Tuesday night at 11 p.m., guys, you can catch the Mosh Gelatin Show popping off, getting down right here on Sunshine 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete. This is where local music lives. We're always rocking on. Here we are. We were voted in by Creative Loafing as the number one radio show out of all the radio shows. And I'm not talking about the number one radio show on the station, the number one radio show in my family. I'm talking about the number one radio show in the whole Tampa Bay, Creative Loafing. Thank you very much. Jess, anything that you want to say before we rock out midnight?
It was great being here. I appreciate it. Love the new studio. And proud of you.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Beatbox Bob, how you feeling, man?
Well, all I just wanted to say was, we're number one, baby! Number one!
From the frozen tundra of Tampa Bay, who the hell writes this crap? You've got the Mosh Gelton Show. From Tampa Bay to the world.
To the Methamphetamine Hour, also known as the Mosh Gelton Show. It's your boy Johnny B from 102.5 The Bone. This is the show I listen to when I think about hitting people.
Are you gonna bring that to the wizard?
China!
How dare you!
China!
How dare you!